Let's get our Bibles out and open them to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. These first three chapters of the Bible, there's a lot in them. And there's a lot of parallels that can be made. So, again, referring to some instances here and making a parallel to this talk. The title of this talk is Difference, and that was brought up in Caroline's testimony as well about the difference, you know, looking to spiritual things, which is great. So we'll start in verse 16, Genesis chapter 2, and verse 16 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." A very clear commandment. And so we're talking about difference here. And so the Lord is encouraging Adam, who's in the Garden of Eden, to indeed trust him, that look to the Lord and don't just leave this tree of the knowledge of good and evil alone. Don't eat any of the fruit of it. Have some self-constraint. You know, there's plenty of other stuff to self-restraint, sorry. Plenty of other food that you can eat, but not this one. Just stay away from that. We know the story well, but we'll go to chapter 3 and verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." So their eyes were open to things that weren't of God. Down to verse 16. "Unto the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." So it's obviously a very interesting story, and there are many, like I said, many layers to it. And so the Lord wanted Adam and Eve in the garden to follow his commandments, right? And that's still the case. Like today, God's always wanted people to follow his commandments. And the commandment was, don't eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. So continue to follow God's commandments, continue to look to the Lord and look to God who is a spirit. Now, the reason I read down to verse 16 about the curses, now, the curses are interesting because God basically, because mankind turned their eyes off the Lord, God increased the trouble in the flesh, right? You know, the women, sorrow in conception, sorrow bearing children, men, laboring, the sweat of thy brow, you know, it's hard work. It's like elevating the trouble in the natural. So God said, right, you're going to trust in the natural, are you? Well, here you go. The natural is going to be a pain to you. It's going to be a recurring pain because you rejected my guidance and decided to go to the natural. Now, the glorious thing is God's always wanted to help. So what we do is we submit to the curses. Hey, it's life, but the Lord will help us and bless us because through that, like this annoying aspect, or these aspects that are annoying in the flesh, in the world, we therefore have the wherewithal to look away from that and look to the Lord, look to spiritual things. So there's that difference. God has elevated the difference. Like he's saying, okay, you look to the flesh, well, this is what the flesh brings, trouble, okay? Whereas if you continued to look to the spiritual things, you'd have a far better pathway to follow. Exodus chapter 11. Just one verse here, and this was the inspiration of the title of the talk. Exodus chapter 11 and verse 7. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. There's a difference. God's in the business of showing us a difference, showing us a far better way, and comparing it to a way that is no good. You know, like I said with the example of Adam and Eve choosing the no good way. And here, and we understand and know that this the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. It helps us explain spiritual things and the kingdom of God, but it's a shadow. So as part of that shadow, Egypt represents the world, our old life, and Israel, the chosen people, is that spiritual life of following God and following his commandments. And what he's saying is there's a difference between your old life and following the Lord, between the flesh and the spirit. Over to chapter 12 and verse 37. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 37. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. Okay, and we'll just stop there. And the reason I chose this verse is to show, I mean, we understand and know the 10 plagues and how Pharaoh thrust Israel out of Egypt, you know, go, you know, and Israel as a whole, a chosen people, were pure. But through the process, it was a great testimony. You know, even the Egyptians looked at Israel and thought, wow, they are blessed. And I want to jump on the blessing. I want to follow them and be with them. And so that's what it says here. A mixed multitude also went with Israel. So the way Egyptians that jumped on board and came with Israel. It was basically like, the 10 plagues and the blessings that were obviously on Israel. It was an awesome outreaching opportunity, and the Lord grabbed that. But we'll read some scriptures later, and again, referring to difference. So, you know, we get baptized by full immersion, we receive God's Holy Spirit, we've got all purity with us. But the Lord doesn't take us away straight away. You know, we're left here on earth to do his will. He can't do what he can do through us on his own, because he's a spirit. He needs us in order to spread his word and see wonderful works done with people. So we're filled with the Holy Spirit, but we still have our body with us. We still live in this world. It's like Israel was thrust out of Egypt, but Egypt still came with them. Okay? So they're still carrying the old world in a way, the body, the world with them, even though within themselves is purity. And it's the same with us today. This is a type. And there's a warning here in the Old Testament. Over to Numbers chapter 11. And Israel, along with the mixed multitude that went through the wilderness, were abundantly blessed as they followed God's commandments. He fed them and nurtured them. Many miracles happened, and the mixed multitude were all a part of that. And it's the same as we walk through this spiritual wilderness. You know, we still carry our body with us. We still have the same brain. We've still got memories, you know, and opinions and all that sort of stuff. We carry all that with us, but the Lord blesses us through the purity of the Spirit. And here's the warning. When the balance is out of whack, you know, like with Adam and Eve. Numbers 11 and verse 4. It says, and the mixed multitude, okay? The mixed multitude, the people that jumped on board, the old life that Israel was still carrying with them through the wilderness, the mixed multitude, the influences of the old ways that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also, you know, the children of Israel, the body of Christ was all caught up with it. They also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? You know, where are the dainties? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. You know, remember the old days. What we used to get up to, you know, fella lusting and desiring to do things our own way. Because when we do things our own way, we think we can see great results. But now our soul is dried away. How dramatic. There is nothing at all beside this manna. You know, they start despising the blessing of the Lord. There's just this manna, which is a miracle. Pure food that comes from heaven every day before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the colour thereof as the colour of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it into a mortar, and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favour in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Okay, so it's a type of burden as we continue to make the right decision to follow God's commandments. You know, so Moses can see, you know, the flesh and the spirit mixed up here, and the desires of the flesh are going back to the old life and the garlic and the onions and the melons and so forth. You know, this burden that we, in a way, that we carry. But praise the Lord, we know that Jesus wants to make our burden light. Okay, so he's fixed it up. Verse 12, have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favour in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. You know, hide my wretchedness from me. And we need to focus on the Spirit and not focus on what Moses is saying here is actually wretchedness. It's like Adam and Eve, you know, they focused on wretchedness, doing things their own way. And their relationship with the Lord broke down. There was a barrier there. The Lord always wants to help a people, and people just have a way of creating barriers. Okay, Lord, what are your commandments? That simple childlike attitude is what the Lord asks us to have. 2 Samuel chapter 3. 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 39. We've got this interesting thing here as well. And we'll read a couple of short passages, well, three short passages. With King David. Now, King David was a great prophet. It was a great king. The Lord blessed him because he continued to look to God, to look to God's commandments and follow his ways. And as a result of his faith, he wrote many psalms glorifying the Lord. And in a way, in this example, you'll see there's a difference between David's vision with the Lord, following spiritual things, and certain people around him that kept trying to drag him back to natural ways of looking at things. So 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 39. Pardon? Second Samuel chapter 3 and verse 39. Yep. And it says here, "And I am this day weak, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness." So he's referring to an instance beforehand where the sons of Zeruiah, it's hard to pronounce, decided to do things their own way instead of looking to the ways of the Lord. And here's David burdened, okay? He's burdened. "These sons of Zeruiah, they're too hard for me." And that's the thing, like, when, I mean, obviously we don't know what Adam and Eve thought when God outlined the cursings. You think, my goodness, this is too hard for me. You know, it's like this same statement, "It's too hard for me, Lord." And so sometimes we can look at what's going on in our lives, in the world. You know, we've got news available so easily, and we can be burdened and troubled by what's going on. It can seem too hard for us, just as David's saying here, but the Lord's made a way through the wilderness, okay? He did it for Israel. He did it for that mixed multitude. They got lost in the wilderness. They could have just gone straight up to Philistine. But they went all the way through the desert because the Lord was trying to train them to trust in the Lord. The Lord found a way through the wilderness. So carry on with this example, chapter 16 and verse 9. 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 9. "Then said Abishai the son of Zeruiah unto the king, Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." And Abishai was a great warrior, very effective in leading an army. And he's saying to the king, "Look, I can do this for you. I can fix this up, this person called Shimei." And the king said, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah?" It's like, stop looking at the natural. Look to the Lord. And David, this is amazingly inspired, what he says here. "So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, Curse David. Who shall then say, Wherefore hast thou done so?" Or who then would dare stop what he's doing? Verse 11, "And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. Amazing vision, okay? King David, a follower of the Lord, said, no, it may be that as a result of absorbing this cursing, the Lord will requite me good. Like us, we're here, walking in this earth. Lord, it may be that if I continue to seek the Lord, despite what I see with my natural eyes and understand with my natural brain, I'll continue to seek the Lord. It may be that the Lord will look upon mine affliction and requite me good. Okay, amazing. Amazing way of looking at an amazing perspective. Because that's what happened in Numbers 11. They lost perspective, completely lost it. And the Lord wants us to hold on to perspective. Right, the last passage is in chapter 19. Excuse me. Second Samuel chapter 19 and verse 21. And this is after the matter when David comes back, and it says here, but Abishai, the same fella, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? And David said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah, that ye should do this day be adversary, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me, opposing the will of God? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? Perspective. Leaving the judgment up to the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Phenomenal. And that is our attitude today. It's a type of things to come. The Lord to continue to encourage us to leave it in his hands and just follow his commandments. And the tough thing, and I won't read it, but I was just thinking about the scripture, that the tough thing is when people are treating us contrary to the guidance in the scriptures, contrary to the commandments of the living God, for us to throw back at them mercy and peace and joy and treat them according to how God wants us to treat people. 2 Kings chapter 18. Another little example, which is interesting. 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 17. And the king of Assyria, enemies of Israel, enemies of God's chosen people. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. And when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fuller's field. And when they had called to the king, there came out to them Eliakim the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, speak ye now to Hezekiah. Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Thou sayest, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, which we've discovered or established is the old life, the world. You trust on a bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which, if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust on him. But if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and hath said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? So here the king of Assyria is just saying, look, in a way he can see the evidence before him. You know, Israel, God's chosen people, stop relying on Egypt. He can see from a distance the effect it's happening on them. It's not a good effect. And even he says it's like a bruised reed that if you lean on it, you pierce your hand. And then we go to chapter 19 and verse 1. So it's like a testimony. It's like people see are people who should be following the Lord but trusting in the flesh and seeing the results aren't that good. But down to chapter 19 and verse 1. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. So after that opposition, he sought the Lord. It's like, okay, I'm not going to believe what I see and hear. I'm going to seek the Lord. Verse 2, and he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master, that thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumour, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. The Lord fixed it up. The Lord was promising here, okay, you came to my house. You came and you sought me. You sought God first, and he provided a solution. Hezekiah didn't have to do anything else. Just look to spiritual things. Ignore the influences or the pressures that come from the natural. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse 28. So it's a little parable here. And it's like Rabshakeh just saying to Hezekiah, you know, don't trust in Egypt, because I've seen the evidence. When you trust in Egypt, it just bruises you and it causes trouble. And here we have this little parable here in Luke 14 and verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And that's what Rabshakeh was kind of throwing at Hezekiah. It's like, okay, Israel as a nation started something. They started. They came out of Egypt, went through the wilderness. The Lord gave them great victory in the promised land. They built a nation. They had this wonderful thing going on. And then, in a way, they started building a tower and they laid the foundation, but then gave up. Thought, okay, I'm going to rely on Egypt now. I'm going to look to Egypt, look to my natural self to solve it. And then, won't others around, i.e. the king of Assyria, others around, mock Israel for relying on the flesh? It's funny. It's a funny thing that indeed can be observed. And so our walk, you know, we baptize, receive the Holy Spirit, we start a walk, we start to build a tower. And of course, we weigh up the cost, you know, weigh up the cost. Oh my goodness. Okay, I've got a change of life, you know, following the Lord. Wonderful blessings ahead. But of course, there's things I have to stop doing. You know, God wants purity in us. So we stop doing things. Stop raging and partying and drinking, taking drugs, and it could go on. Immorality, we stop those things. You weigh up the cost. And then you carry on and you continue laying the foundation and building the tower, which is our life, building our tower in the life. And others around, i.e., as an example, the king of Assyria, will see, wow, they continue to be blessed because they continue to look to the living God instead of giving up and relying on their old ways. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 19. Sorry, verse 9. Beg your pardon. I'll start again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We were speaking about that yesterday. God's prepared a wonderful promise for us. And we call that heaven, you know, this spiritual realm. And of course it's spiritual because our natural eyes and our natural heart, we can't comprehend it. It's spiritual. And Paul goes on and goes in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Okay? For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, i.e. Egypt, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can we know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay? And so the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. You know, here in Australia, we have a free education. We're taught to use our brain. We're taught to think. And too often, we rely on that more than relying on the Spirit. And it turns out, no matter how clever we think we are and what fluent words we can use to describe things, God sees it as foolishness. God just wants the kingdom of God to be simple. And the true wisdom comes from spiritual things, not our own understanding. Romans chapter 8. I might just turn this on. Sorry, Andrew, I'm getting a bit cold. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. For they that are of after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Makes sense. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And that's the encouragement is for us to put Egypt where it belongs. I mean, we can't avoid it. And then look to the spiritual things. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Actual enemies. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So God's saying here it's absolutely impossible to work out and comprehend and understand the kingdom of God with your natural mind. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Because you cannot please God without the Spirit. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. So that difference, as we said, it read in Romans 8, the difference between spiritual things, carnal things, spiritual things, fleshly things, wisdom, foolishness, that comes from God or from the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11. So Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Excuse me. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it in unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us, and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, or your own ways, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, and both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. So even back here in Deuteronomy, God is pleading with his people. Look, you have a choice. There are two ways before you. The old way, or following me, following my commandments. And he's saying, please choose life. Choose that spiritual thing and follow that thing that you may prosper. And prosper can come in many ways, but I think the greatest way prosper can happen is inside. Peace, comfort, joy, love, those things, regardless of what's happening around, regardless of what you have. You know, it's that contentment within. That is amazing prosper, and the Lord's encouraging us to choose properly. There's a difference. There's two ends to these paths, and he's asking us to choose life. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So the Lord's here encouraging us to learn about it and understand about it. Learn how it's applied. And as we heard last week, you know, learning is about not just listening and saying, oh, yeah, yeah, I know. Learning is about applying it and having a proper knowledge, you know, that indeed our eyes, our spiritual eyes, our understanding are truly open to the riches and the glory of his inheritance. You know, what we have available to us. Penultimate scripture, John chapter 3. This is what I was referring to in my introduction. John chapter 3. This difference that happens in people's lives. John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's that difference God wants us to understand. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit is likened to this wind and the sound that accompanies where the Spirit is. And praise the Lord. Wonderful thing. Wonderful realization. There's a sound that accompanies the presence of the Holy Spirit. Something you can see and hear. But here's that difference. Initially, we were born of the flesh. And the Lord is saying, look, you need to be born again. You need to start again in the Spirit. Baptism, born of the water, as it says. Born of the Spirit, receiving God's Holy Spirit. And you know it when you hear the sound that shows where the Spirit is, and that is speaking in tongues. Finish up 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. And here's a passage of encouragement where Peter is adjuring God's followers. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification or separation of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, or pure, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That dragging of the flesh and the world with us. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently to understand and grasp, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, you know, the prophets of old, not unto themselves, they didn't get it, it was just revealed to them, but unto us they administered the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The angels. You know, it's hard to pinpoint exactly what angels are. We have a bit of an idea from the scriptures. But the angels, the spiritual beings, they desire to look into. They desire to understand what it's like. What it's like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What it's like to carry around within a tabernacle God himself that was made available by the sufferings of Jesus Christ, and to understand the kingdom of God. The angels themselves desire to look into it. So let us realize that what we are living today, yes, we drag this flesh around with us, the so-called Egypt, the world, manifold temptations, but our experience of being able to pray for people, to see them receive the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, to pray for people and see miracles, to pray for things in our own lives and see resolutions, improve or remove. That is what the angels desire to look into. Keep your perspective. keep your perspective and keep rolling. Keep rolling through the days of this life and realize we're a part of something truly special. And it's open to everyone on earth if only they would repent and be baptized and pray for the Spirit. That indeed we can see the end of our faith being raised up to meet the Lord in the air and to dwell with him forever in a spiritual way, completely discarding the so-called Egypt, completely discarding this flesh, but purely spiritual, dwelling with God face to face. And that's what we look forward to. Okay, thank you.